morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am truly, and I mean this from my heart, I am truly honored and privileged to have with me today someone I have the utmost respect for. And for those who know me, for me to say that to somebody, that means a lot. His name is Timothy Shugrue. He is the district attorney of Berkshire County. And in this humble, bald-headed, fat guy's opinion, doing one heck of a job. Good morning, Mr. District Attorney.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing today?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm holding my own.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah. I have to just tell you, I did some research for this interview. I mean, I keep up with you, but I wanted to be sure. You just had a big murder trial go down, and the guy was found guilty of second-degree murder.
Yeah, it was a big one.
That was really a big one. Yeah.
What people probably don't realize is that in the last 18 months, we've tried and completed 7 murder trials. I started out with my case, which was Galarenzo, who killed his 2-year-old. You might remember that.
Yeah.
Driving and drowning him across the river in April of 2024, in which he got punished with a significant manslaughter punishment. And then we had another manslaughter case, which was another significant sentence. And then we had 3 first-degree murder convictions and 2 second-degree murder convictions. So 7 murder cases in the last 18 months have been resolved, all appropriate sentences and all appropriate findings. The 3 first-degrees, first-degree murders. The second degrees, I concede, we had a theory on first degree, but I was comfortable with the second degree because I think the facts also supported a second degree. And those were significant sentences there, not just the 15-year minimum mandatory. We're talking 20, and the other one was 25-year. One was a 25-year minimum mandatory, 25 to life, so it's almost the same as a first-degree murder. And the other one was a 20-year life instead of the 15 to life. So those were big, significant sentences. And throughout this whole period, for the last 3 years, we have actually tried cases every single month. And Berkshire County, I'm funded and staffed to run every other month for criminal trials, and civil cases go on the odd months. So we're supposed to be doing that. But since I took office, to get the backlog from back from COVID and to make sure that we are really coming in full bore, we have gone 33 months straight of all my lawyers trying cases every single month in the Superior Court. We are going to go back to the every other month because I can't, the office cannot afford to keep doing it that way. And I can't run my lawyers into the ground. They have worked as yeoman's work. They have worked overtime. They've put in 70, 80 hours a week for the last 3 years. And they've proven it, and they've succeeded, and they've shown that with these 7 convictions in the last 18 months. But there's also been a lot of other big ones where we had 18 to 20s on some child abuse cases. Yes. A lot of creditors cases that we have gotten. We've had a lot of significant drug cases where we've gotten significant jail time, including McFadden, which was just upheld by the sentencing appeals, which was a 20 to 22 year sentence on a minimum mandatories. On a gun case and drug case from a year ago. So the numbers are up there. I haven't seen these kind of high numbers for serious criminal actions. And that's setting the tone right. So when you're hearing about Berkshire County now, you know we're not tolerating criminals coming here. If you're a criminal and you're going to come here, especially if you're drugs and guns, we are going to make sure you get held to the utmost extent of the law. We don't drop the gun charges. I hold your gun charges because I think, I have a license to carry. I believe in your right to bear arms. I have no problem with that. But these are illegal weapons that are taken by people who do not have the right to bear arms, who do not have the legal right to either have felony convictions or they don't have the proper licensing. Because of that, we've had a lot of illegal guns on the streets. We have removed a significant amount of guns. Hence, there's less shootings that are happening because when I took office in 2023, the year before, 2022, there was just, I think it was 30 shootings that year in the county. Yeah. That was unheard of. We're down. You barely hear about shootings anymore. We'll get them once in a while. I can't get rid of all of it. And a lot of those are juveniles. So we're dealing with that. We attack it. And now we know if there's a shooting in a particular area, we saturate that area and we research it. We investigate it. And we get to the source of it. And eventually we will we'll root that issue out. So it's to the point now where we had a problem across the board, which we have rooted out. And getting rid of the mentality that we are coming after guns and drugs. The drug dealers know it. when we hear them on the wires, they're talking down in Springfield, don't go up the mountains, they're picking them up one at a time. The reputation for Berkshire County has changed dramatically. And because of that, they're less likely to come here. Because of that, we've increased the jail by a 33% population due to the fact that these are all bad people coming into our community, poison our kids, to bring guns and weapons into here, that we are getting rid of them. You know, and so we have done a wonderful job in doing that. I'm proud of my team. It's the first time in 30 years that this entire office is staffed. I have 25 full-time lawyers and another
Good
part-time,
for
so
you.
26 lawyers. I've got full staff to 60 people and 15 state troopers. So we're doing the work. A lot of stuff that you won't see behind the scenes. We've done a lot of there's been a lot of arrests this month for drugs cases. We seized over 100 grand in illegal funds from a drug raid. You know, we found a kilo and a half drugs we took, and with some arrangements the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of stuff that are happening that we continue to do across the board. We are taking a lot of guns and drugs up the street, so I'm proud of where we're at. You know, like, it is a little tired because we are working, you know, and we haven't missed a beat. We haven't missed a beat all summer. We haven't missed a beat this fall. We are still going full bore, and I'm proud of the work that happens in here. And I love coming into this office every single day to see the enthusiasm, the optimism, the excitement that they have of doing their jobs, to protecting our community, protecting our society, and making sure that justice is being served across the board. And of course, as you know, when we talk about this most of the times, we're on. But we talk about all the preventive work that we do and all the addiction work that we do to help people that are in the throes of addiction, to get them off drugs, not to get them punishment, to get them clean and get them to be productive
That's
members of society. Because again, it's a two-prong attack. One, get rid of the supply coming in, and two, deal with the addiction issue at home. We're tackling that. We've been doing that for a while. But I'm also proud because we're getting rid of all these murders. When I took office, I think there were 16 murders pending, and we're plowing through them. We're getting the backlog gone, and I'm happy to say that even our murder numbers are low now. I think we average maybe one a year, so that's tremendous. Whereas we were having high numbers before, I think you see across the board that this team's doing their job. I'm proud of them. You know how hard they're working, and it's paying off. They keep getting convictions, so the wins are there. You know, it took us a little while to transition from a bad office from before. And I think we transitioned into a very productive, vibrant, optimistic office that is winning, and it's proving it. People now want to come here. I have probably the best law office for Superior Court criminal work in Western Mass. I'm very proud of them, and they're doing a great job. We have ensembled a tremendous Superior Court trial team, and they're proving it, and they're winning these cases. So they'll continue to do their jobs. Now, not that we're going to win them all. We understand we take tough cases to trial, so we can't win them all. But we are winning, you know, the high percentage of them, and we're doing. I think the community should be very happy. We're doing a great job.
Well, I'll tell you, not only that, I have to commend you and your staff, all of your staff, for you were painted by a brush before of just like, well, he's just going to put everybody in jail. Well, you haven't. In fact, you built up, in my opinion, both sides of the house. The discipline house and the rehabilitation house. And I, as I told you, you think I'm kidding you. Your office ran a program, Dress for Success, at the Holiday Inn. And for those people that didn't see that, just give me a minute, Mr. DA. The Berkshire District Attorney's Office will host its annual, it's passed. Event on September the 13th at 10 to 1 p.m. at the Holiday Inn and Suites on West Street in Pittsfield. Dress for Success provides free, gently used business attire for anyone in need of professional attire. The event is open to everyone. District Attorney Shigrew thanks many people in the Berkshires who have donated professional clothing throughout the year. So, before people, you know, let me ask you this, and it may be premature, but I may not be always doing the radio either. Are you going to run again?
Oh, I'm not going anywhere, Bill. I'm not going anywhere. I've committed to doing this, and continue to do it. I plan on continuing to do it. We're doing a great job, and we've got more work to do. So I've got, stuff, a lot of stuff on my plate. And so when the time comes around, that I will definitely be going, continue to do this job. And I want to continue to do what this team is built. Now we're in a process of a build out. We're taking over some, we'll be taking moving to the first and third floor of this building,
Wow.
along as part of the second. So we're in the process of a build out, expanding the office, building that bigger. So there's been a lot of internal stuff that's been happening about running this office as a business. It's running as a business, it's running successfully. And that's enabled me to hire all the staff that I've hired. It's enabled me to do the work I'm doing. We're still grant writing. We just received two significant $120,000, $260,000 grants, so another $120,000 that we will put right back into the community. A lot of this will go for overtime for police. A lot of this will go for safety and the marginalized community to put patrols out there from the state police. So there's a lot of stuff that we are doing, again, that the public just doesn't necessarily see, but it's important that we continue to keep building that up. So this office is building. I'm in the process of making it bigger and better. We were on the first floor. We will now have the first, third, and part of the second floor. We're
Wow.
building it up, and we're in the process of starting the construction on that. So, we're staying on North Street. We're staying right where we are. I want to be the focal point on the corner of North and West. We'll probably have some signage up front and be a little bit more visible. I think it's important. As you know, I make sure all my lawyers, they have to do 4 hours of community service a year. I make sure that my entire staff has to do those 4 hours of community service so that we are in our community. We are working with our neighbors. We're working with everybody to build the beautiful Berkshires to what they need to be, safe and bucolic like they've always been. So we're working hard on that, and we've gotten rid of a lot of the criminal element. We're going to continue to do
Yeah.
that. So we've got, obviously, we've got work to continue to do, I've got the enthusiasm, the excitement to do it. Like I said, I enjoy coming in here because we worked hard, and everybody's got a vision. When just so you know, when we win a trial, someone comes back, the entire office, all 60 employees, comes in, and they greet the trial team as they come in there, and we congratulate the entire office for the work everybody's done,
Yeah.
because we get those convictions based upon the receptionists, based upon the people typing the letters, based upon the people, the advocates who are working with the victims, and the lawyers are doing so much work, and the support staff that the lawyers have. This is a team approach. Everybody's a cog in the wheel. Everybody does their job. When everybody does their job, we get the convictions, and we show the integrity, and we show the, obviously, we're very transparent. We show how professional this office is, and we show the maturity level that this office is showing. And the community should be very, very proud of all these lawyers. We brought lawyers in from all over the state. I'm very proud of them. I'm building a tremendous district court where I'm training lawyers as they're coming up. We have three new lawyers that came in from the Boston area that have started this year. So we're bringing new employees in. We're bringing fresh blood to the community. We're bringing a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And everybody that I'm bringing in, not only are they good trial lawyers and they're good lawyers in their own right, they also bring a lot of stuff that comes to community engagement. A lot of people have very diverse backgrounds, and they're bringing different parts of our community and our cultures together, and they work on these things. Everybody gets a project, and they get involved within our community so that the community knows what is the Berkshire County DA's office doing, and how involved they are. And
Yeah.
we're involved in everything. We're out volunteering. We're
Sure.
doing all sorts of different stuff. So I'm excited for it. And when, like I said, it's the first time in 30 years the entire office is full. There are no positions available. And I'm proud of that, because it takes a lot of work to get in this community to get to have plenty of employees is a great thing. And I have a wait list of people getting on in. People want to come here. They want to work here now. They see what's happening. They want to be part of
Great.
this team. And that's exciting, because that's bringing people into the Berkshires, professionals, and also buying houses and building and moving on. So, I think that we are an integral part of the community, and I think I've proven it and shown it. I think the DA's office has never been this integral part of the community. I'm making sure that it is, and I think that's paying dividends for all of us.
And emphasize what you just said, I went to the dedication of the new Elizabeth Freeman Center.
Yeah, beautiful,
And
right?
who did I bump into? Two of the first assistant and the lady that does the juvenile, whose name escapes me, but it might
Yes,
be, I forget where I parked the
yeah,
car.
Stacy Parsons.
And they were such wonderful representatives. In so many people there. What I, you know, I'm an old cop. I'm always watching. What so many people there knew them.
Yep.
And so that tells me they're just not trial in court, in office. They're out. And that,
No, that
it, we go back, way back when you first got elected. I diligently fought the brush you were being painted with as like the hanging judge, because you came from the other side of the aisle.
right.
You saw the devastation that drugs and booze and domestic violence and brings to people. And I think that, I don't want to say because it'll be misinterpreted, but I think it has made your vision wider. How's that? Pretty good, huh?
I think it's wise to have had both sides. I started out as a
I do too.
prosecutor my first 8 years.
Yeah.
I was in Superior Court in Springfield doing sexual assaults, rape cases, and child abuse cases in the 80s, and then transferred to the Berkshires. Then I started the Kids Place to deal with child abuse prevention and prosecution
Yes.
and trauma, reducing trauma for children and getting them treatment so to break the cycle. So we've always been involved in that. Then I was in private practice where I saw the devastating effects of drugs on families. Middle class families that
Yeah.
had their children in their 20s being poisoned by and led into bad situations by drug dealers coming to our community for pure greed to make money off our kids. I saw that on a firsthand basis, and I saw the need and how difficult it is to get people off drugs and how much work you have to put into it. But the work always paid off for us. I had my clients gut clean. They got back to work, and they moved on. And most of them went on to college, or they went and got great jobs and to trade schools, and they did well. But they had to get through that addiction process. So I know how to do it. From being in the private practice, we're doing that in this office for rehabilitation purposes in the district court. When we handle the big cases in the Superior Court, I deal with the people that get caught, they get dragged into the criminal justice system by these criminals and then used as pawns. We try to get them clean, get them off that, get them so they're productive members in our community. And that's why Dress for Success is so important to me. I work so closely with the jail. I work very closely with Sheriff Bowler. And because we have to reintegrate people that are in the House of Correction, which is just that. The word means it, House of Correction.
House of
It's supposed
Correct.
to be a correction facility, not a punishment facility. So the District Court and the House of Correction deals with getting people through rehabilitation, retraining, and getting them back in the community. And we can't just let them get out of jail. They'll end up going back to the trap houses. They'll end up going back to where the drugs are being used and sold. We got to help them get to that point where we spend the first month with them to make sure they have housing, make sure that they have treatment, make sure that they have their medical insurance and their mass health and getting their, they're getting their Suboxones or their substance abuse that keeps them off the drugs, the drugs that keep them off the drugs until they completely weaned off on that. That is very important. So we need us to work together with the jail to reintegrate people in the society. So what they do is they do a job fair. Before they do the job fair, I do the Dress for Success. So we offer beautiful suits, beautiful dresses, business clothes for people that want to go to a job interview. We try to teach them how to do job interviews, how to do their resumes so that they can go out in the community and get a second chance in life, because it's all about second chances. If people fell into the throes of addiction, we can't let them be stigmatized for that for the rest of their lives. We got to break that stigma. Hopefully, once they're back on track, give them the chance, give them that second chance. And by getting suits, I know everybody feels this way. When they dress well and they look well, they feel better about themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's so important to me. That's why we dress the way we dress, because it's important to feel good about yourself and give you the confidence and that dynamic that you need when you're going looking for jobs. By doing that program, it then tails in with their job corps that comes up in a few weeks. And then they have the tools to go in there and do job interviews. That gets people back into the community working and not just on drugs, costing us money. These people are giving back, they're paying taxes.
Right.
So there's a lot of sense to what I'm saying. We take care of the addiction problem, deal with it there, and it's an ongoing hard problem. That's why I did the opioid summit last year and got all the silos of opioid treatment all together and got the courthouse there and got the probation officers so we could all understand that there are treatment centers that are available. They're not waitlist. We can get you in there. So we coordinate all that to help people get into the treatment programs. So we get people off drugs. So we attack it that way, make the supply demand lower because we're getting people off drugs, and two, go after the people bringing the drugs in, and then cut that head of that snake off And then that makes it easier so that our kids are safe, our community is safe. Because with drugs and these drug dealers coming in, brings guns, brings violence, brings murders. By getting rid of that, you'll see the numbers go way down. We also see the overdose go way down based upon us taking the amount of drugs we are taking off the street. When we're taking kilos at a time up the street, and we are, that takes that supply away. And we
Well,
have taken so many drugs up the street. Like the last one, 100 grand in cash that was seized, that was illegal drug proceeds. So these are things that go back to our community. I use it in the marginalized communities for events and programming. I also use it for to fund these other these investigations. So it's a beneficial factor because we use that money back to fight crime with crime proceeds. And I'm proud about that, and I like how we use it.
you know, too, I think it's important that I emphasize something, if you don't mind. Where I always found the breakdown in the criminal justice system, especially when working with juveniles coming out of the Violent Youthful Offender Program, you're not letting go of their hand yet. You're
No.
helping them. People don't, I mean, I'm saying this for the general public. What the DA is doing, when someone's been on drugs and they've lost their family and they've lost their own self-respect and all of this stuff, going to jail, that's the punishment.
Yep.
But what the DA is doing is he set up a lifeline for when they get out, because you just can't walk out of jail as a drug addict, former drug addict, back into society, because you almost have to learn the ropes all over. Dress for success. You probably don't have a suit. I mean, there's all these things that I always felt was the breakdown in the criminal justice system. You got a parole officer. Well, that was
Right.
just to make sure you stayed on the straight and level. But who helped you re-socialize?
That's what we
This
need.
is
You got
doing
to
it.
get back in. Yep.
Yep.
You can't just come out and go. You got to get help. You
Yeah.
need help to get, everybody needs help once in a while in their lives. So trust me, everybody needs their neighbors to help them out. I mean, certainly we've had a lot of help from our community members with our year this year. And so, and I appreciate everybody that comes and helps, but everybody needs help. And so we need to give these people the help that they need when they've paid their dues for society, they've gotten healthy, they've gotten clean, and they want to go to work. Let's help them get to work. Let's help them become productive and give them the tools to do it rather than letting them fail because they don't have the tools. They don't have the health insurance. They don't have housing. They don't have, they're back into the trap house where they were before. They don't have an opportunity for a job because they don't have any clothes and they can't shower. There's things like that that we need to help them out with. And the program the jail runs in conjunction now with us helping with the Dress for Success and our helping to reintegrate people into the community is very, very important. And I got to tell you another thing is I'm seeing judges do this. This is the first time I've ever seen it in the last couple of months. What judges are doing now on these open containers and these minor crimes for public intoxications, other things like that, that causes a lot of problems because they're on our streets. The judges are now saying, they're getting what I'm saying, accountability. We give you two options. Get into treatment, fine. We'll get rid of your case. Number two, if you don't do that, community service. You're gonna go out there, you're gonna clean the streets up. So, it's gotta be accountability. And I'm seeing the judges actually do this on their own. And this is what I've been trying to preach. This is what I've been trying to preach for a bit now. Those small crimes like that that don't need to be a criminal action in the end, but there needs to be some accountability, get into treatment or do community service. We don't need to give you a criminal record. But be accountable for your behavior so you won't do it again because you're going to put in 40 hours of community service. You're not going to want to be sitting out there and drinking a bottle on the street corner. So there's little things like that mean so much that clean up our community. The more we do with that, and I'm hoping the city will continue their efforts to try to work with with working with what's happening with the homeless population and some of the other issues that happen downtown. That's not my wheelhouse. But I support them and I help them in any which way we can. And that means by trying to get what I consider accountability, but it doesn't have to be criminality. And I think we're doing that. And there's ways to do it without criminalizing everything. And we're trying to do that. And the judges are buying into it now. So, and the judges are buying into the more treatment that let's do treatment options. And if you don't want to do treatment, then there's going to be a different option. So it's taken a few years to do that, but I'm really feeling this philosophy that I sell, and I know I do it all the time on your show, and if I'm selling, I am. It's because I want people to buy into this because it's a good program, it works well, And it does help us. A, it gets rid of the drugs and guns up the street, and B, it helps people that have fallen into, unfortunately, disease of addiction, and them and their family need the help to help them get those drugs and help them get back to work. So it's a good mentality, and I'm glad that I'm seeing more and more judges do it, and more and more judges doing that on the small stuff. You got to sweat the small stuff. I said that during the campaign. It wasn't about, cracking heads. It was just about helping people, and also helping people in the community, businesses and whatnot, so that people that are committing small offenses, we just hold them accountable to it. Either you do community service or you get into treatment. I'll give the option, one or the other. Makes sense to me. And if you get someone off drinking or off drugs, then we help them. So
Yeah,
give them the option.
and by that we help the entire community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, it's taken me nearly 3 years now that we've been in office to build what we've built, to get rid of the backlog, all these criminal cases, to get the convictions we have, to get the reputation that the criminals now know we have, that they're going to face consequences when they come here, and also to get the community to buy into this whole aspect of, we can correct this problem, we can make it safer for the community, and we can help people that are in the throes of addiction, not stigmatize them, but at the same time too, help us all get to a healthy community. And that's what we're all trying to do. And that's my job, is purely public safety and helping our members of our community.
And again, you emphasized it in the beginning. Let me emphasize it now. It is first and foremost the House of Correction and
Yeah.
jail.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
in
Exactly.
in by doing what you have established as a protocol, and having the old jail in Second Street is like not, I don't want to say halfway house, but a transition situation, because it, like I said, I've been in this now. I don't want to tell you because it makes me feel old. Oh, I am old. Oh, we'll
You
move on.
go.
We'll move on. But there's always been the breakdown since I've been in the job. I would see the old World War II guys when I was a beat cop. They'd come around in November, early December. They'd want to get arrested to go to jail for the winter. And
Yeah, we don't want that happening, it's just not
no,
right.
no, no. But come spring, they're dry as a bone. They've been in jail. They painted the old jail. They fixed the plumbing. They did all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
They got out 2 weeks and they're back on the booze because there was that gap. You're eliminating the gap.
Well, we're doing that because the sheriff started this programming before I was DA. I give him the
Oh,
credit
Tom,
for, by putting these programming into place ahead of time, it made my job easier when I became elected as DA. He has rehabilitative programs in there. He's got a print shop. He teaches them printing. He teaches them graphic arts. He teaches them hydroponics. He's got a lot of programming, a lot of education going on over there, a lot of drug work, a lot of alcohol work. They're doing and medically treatment. They have a good medical facility in there. They are not just housing people. They're working on getting people rehabilitated. And that's what drove me to run for DA as well. I saw what they were doing, and I knew we could do the second step, which you need the prosecution, you need the ADAs, you need the DA behind those type of programs, because the sheriff has been doing it, and he needed a process of how do we reintegrate them into the community if they have gotten clean, they have gotten a skill in the jail, and we can give them a second chance. And we give them, the opportunities. So that's, I'm trying to work with that. But, and again, and if people, they violate that, they get treated harshly, because I want to see success. And if I see people that abuse it, then we will treat them appropriately. It's all about accountability to your actions. And that's been the word on the door since day one, was I'm going to hold people accountable. I hold my staff accountable. I hold my lawyers accountable, and myself, and we do our jobs. And we want to make sure that we help people get into the community. And if you break the law, I want to make you hold accountable depending upon the severity of the offenses. So some of these are minor, so I want to make sure they get treated minor. So I said from the beginning, Bill, and I'll still say it now because it's still true, every case has its own DNA. Every person is different. Every case has its own DNA. I look at every case differently. I look at every case based upon the background of that person, their history and whatnot. Is there parameters we look at? Yes. But I mean, we're basically looking at each case individually. And I think that's so important that it's just not, this is not an institution like unfortunately, some of the areas have to be, because the crime problem is so big and they're just, running them through. Now, here we treat these cases individually and specifically, and we put a great deal of effort into each of them so that we can make sure that we're doing all we can for the people that are sick and have addictions, and also doing best we can to make sure we hold people accountable who are, drug dealers and coming in here to poison our kids.
And we're going to take a break now. Please stay tuned for the DA, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about his initiatives, which I think are beyond great. His initiatives were dealing with what I call juvenile youthful offenders, which is he's got a wonderful program started, and he's also got a wonderful program for retail theft. And that's a big time deal. Now that's almost an organized situation. He's jumped into this. He's taken the bull by the horns, and he's had some great successes along, and a lot of buy-in by the businesses. But until then, we have to take a break. Otherwise, the DA will be in trouble through me. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We are also broadcasting in Southern Berkshire now at 88.1 FM. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. A lot more to come from the district attorney that you, the citizens of the county, need to know. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
If you or someone you care about has experienced or is currently dealing with sexual or domestic abuse, Elizabeth Freeman Center is here for you, day or night, whether you're ready to take action or just want to talk. You are not alone. Call our free and confidential hotline to speak to a counselor today at 866-401-2425. That's 866-401-2425, or visit our website at elizabethfreemancenter.org.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, that he is the district attorney of Berkshire County. I'm really mesmerized by his tie. Really, that is a gorgeous tie. I got this pretty old thing, but I'm conservative. D.A. Shugrue, what you, I want to go over some of your accomplishments and programs you started that have really benefited the community. And first, I'd like to start with your juvenile diversion program. To me, as someone who has a lot of experience with juveniles, you know, what you're doing and making it work, balancing what's best for the youth. You know, I'm sure you've seen on the television and on the heard on the radio, and there's a big push now, crackdown on juvenile crime. Well, before we do that, we better take a hardcore look at what exists now and what would we want it to be. Just incarcerating, and this is my opinion, the DA disavows me, disavows anything. But here's my personal opinion, and I've worked with them. If you don't have a proper, up-to-date, not something written in the 70s or 80s or 90s, something was written in the 2010 on how to deal with today's youth and juvenile and violent offenders, putting them just in jail, you just sent them to graduate school.
It's true. And, you know, the thing is that the youth really need the attention, and they need to be heard. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we've done, and I was just with the governor last week on how we spent the Safe Neighborhoods Project money. And she was commending us for how we use the money in Berkshire County. One of the things I've done is I hired with grant writing and grants. I mean, the previous administration didn't have grants. I run grants between $660,000 and $1 million a year, which I give back to the community. Yeah. It's not for my office. These are for programming that yeah. I run. That does some, and most of this is going to preventive work, like you're just talking about. So yep. before we even get to the juvenile court, what we're doing on top of that, I hired two clinical social workers in Pittsfield High School.
Wow.
Who identify at-risk youth. Right. And they help them, they mentor them, they get them through the process before crimes are committed. These are kids that appear to be and some sort of risk, whether they get problems at home or something, they get identified, and we have two clinical social workers that work with them. We've had a number of success with that, with kids helping them get DCC, helping them to college afterwards, and kids that potentially could have fallen through the cracks. I've invested a lot of money into that program. Like I said, we've hired two of those, and the governor was very pleased about how we're using that money, because what we're doing is that every dollar we spend on a juvenile that we can, you know, work on before they end up in trouble, sure, it saves you tenfold. So they say it's $7 to $10 per person every single time you keep somebody that you save out of the court system. Yep. So by doing this, it makes sense financially and everything else, because we're investing in preventive work before crimes are being committed. We're investing in preventive work so these kids can become productive. And I started this the very day I came into the office. I reintegrated, because the last 4 years didn't have it before my administration. They took our programming out of the school. We're back in the school. I spent a lot of money in the schools with programming on bullying, on cybercrime, internet crimes, on just the things that the kids be aware of. Yeah. I run programming that. I do it during the camps in the summertime. So we spent a lot of time doing that. But I'm very proud of this program that we have with these two clinical social workers, that they're making a difference already. The kids are noticing it. The therapists are noticing it. And I actually brought a therapist to the meeting with the governor, and the governor was very pleased. Additionally to that, we work with, I donated money from the grant to Roots Rising. Roots yep. Rising is a group of young farming kids, yeah, or kids that want to get into farming, and they take a lot of at-risk youth as well. And because of that, we get kids that could be on the street. Instead, they're into the community and farming. They're building a farm now on Barker Road. Yeah.
I drove by it yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. They're going to have their own farm. We've invested a lot of money into them. We're going to continue to invest money into them. And because two of our biggest things here in Berkshire County that's growing is tourism and farming, small farms. are really booming in our county because we're doing a lot of, all the restaurants are doing farm to table foods and we're
Yep.
buying locally sourced foods. So we're seeing the big increase in farming as a big economic factor in Berkshire County. So we are helping kids get into that field, getting them trained in that field, getting them off the streets, keeping them busy between the hours of 3 p.m. when they get out of school to 7 p.m. We're trying to keep our kids busy. If we keep them busy, we keep proactive, we keep them excited and enthused and doing something. It keeps them focused on their schoolwork. It keeps them focused on having a direction and a drive of what they want to do. They look forward to going to these programs. They look going forward to going to the farms. They look forward to go to the farmers markets on the weekend. Again, that's another program that we have run that the governor touted as a unique and a very sort of advanced way to do preventive work. And to get our kids involved. So we spend a lot of time on youth preventative work and on educating the youth and getting into our schools and listening to them. I also deal with the special resource officers. We deal with them on a regular basis from the schools, finding out
Oh,
what kids are at risk
good.
before they're in court. So then, okay, we've done all that. Now we get kids that end up in court. So in the court system, we have Stacey Parsons who develops programming for each individual kid that comes through there.
Yeah.
So some cases will not get diverted. Some cases are just too serious for the sexual assault. If it's a gun case, they will not get diverted. Those cases are going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. However, in other cases where kids are coming in and they're kids that can be rehabilitated, kids that we need to get help for, we do that with various programs that Stacey Parsons does. And she is so connected from, Clarksburg down to Alford with programming and everywhere in the community.
Oh,
She
great.
works about 78 hours a week. I can't get her to take a day off. I push her really so hard. She's out in the community. She represents our office so well. She's a vibrant, wonderful, and very optimistic person. And they're tackling these issues with the juveniles, and we're making a big difference. We're seeing diversion with substance. In the 4 years before I took office, they diverted cases and nothing happened to them. They were just kicked out 6 months. 6 months later, the case was dismissed. No, that doesn't work. We have accountability. That word keeps coming up again. We have accountability because what they do is every programming is designed to make the kids responsible for what they did, for the behavior that they did, to learn from that behavior so you don't do it again, you don't want to do it again, but also to make sure that it's a something that's going to make people better in the future. And make our community better. So it works well that way because we get them to be accountable for what they're doing, but we also put them into situations that will keep them off the street. They'll keep them away from drugs. We'll keep them away from gangs. And that to me is very, very important. So
Yeah.
again, there's a slew of program. I run that camp program with the FBI about the cyber crimes and about the internet crimes. We're in schools all the time. We're still doing that. Brian Burkle goes in with our program in that. I must have 30 or 40 programs that we are running that are taking care of preventive work for youth. Because again, the children are our future. They make up 40% of our population, 100% of our future. We have to invest in them. If I'm doing all this work I'm going to do, I'm taking all this grant money, I'm investing it in our kids to keep them proactive, to keep them
Yeah.
energized and engaged in the community, and to keep them to do things so that when they move on in life, they have the skills that are necessary for them. And these programs are great. And that's true in all trades. We help people in the trade schools. We help people that want to go to college. We help people get into BCC. And now BCC being free, it's a nice benefit as well. So
Yeah.
we're taking advantage of all the things that other businesses and organizations have made available, and we're implementing them with our kids.
That's
So it would take me for an entire day to go through all the programs that we are running across the board that are proactive about getting keep kids out of trouble and keeping kids busy after school, 3 to 7, most important time of the day to keep kids busy.
Statistically, that's when most juvenile crime takes
Yeah,
place.
that's exactly 3 to 7 in the afternoon. And then, we try to get kids into the sports and do that. Pittsfield has the wonderful park system. Maybe people attack everything, and there's been a lot of negativity over the years about certain things. I can tell you that Clark Park is a gem.
Oh, yeah.
I drive by that all the time.
Yeah.
I see kids on the basketball court. It's
Yeah.
used all the time. I see double games going on. I see the splash pad being used. I see the baseball games being played there, the high school baseball games being, I see the track being used. It is just a great park. And I don't want to see other people getting into there and trying to ruin that by buying drugs in there. So,
Right.
we got to keep those parks clean. We got to keep them for our kids. We got to keep them for our, elder people. We got to keep them for people that want to use the parks. And we're doing a great job with that. Having an ice rink there this winter is going to be
Isn't that going
tremendous
to be cool?
For free.
Yeah.
That is going to be cool. You're right. That's the best way to word for it. It's going to be great. And the carousel working back again, that turned out to be a great success for the summer. The Common is doing so many things with that open space. It's great. I'm a little disappointed what's happening in Park Square because I'm seeing, people come in there and sleep in there. I'm hoping that the city can address that issue. But most of the ways I'm seeing these parks, the lakes, they're beautiful. What they've done on Pontusic Lake, the development up there is nothing short of just gorgeous.
Creekside Park.
It's a
Springside
beautiful park
where I grew up. That's where I learned.
Yeah, Springside Park. Look what these parks are doing. These are our gems in our city. I mean, New York City said that years ago, Central Park was their gem. We have many of these in the community, whether it's Curvin Park, wherever it is, dog parks. Yeah. There are just dog park at Burbank Park, plus Burbank Park. We've got so many things that are here available for us. We don't take advantage of the state forest enough up on Cascade Street. There are places that we can keep the kids busy at because we have the outdoor activities here that are available to us. We just have to get people to get engaged with the youth and help them get it and use these things. That will reduce the crime because they'll get them off North Street. They'll get them off downtown. It will get them out of the marginalized community where there's drugs lurking around. And we're going to attack those drug dealers coming in, and we're going to help these kids go to the parks. Again, I talk about it every year. I go to the West Side Legends event when they have their family day down there with big barbecues. It's wonderful. We bring the ice cream truck, the popsicle truck. We have both of them down there that are free for the kids. We donate drug money from that, from forfeiture money. And they have bands playing there. The year before this, they had the 54th Regiment from the Mass Civil War. The reenactments came there. There's just a lot of good things that are happening in our community that people just don't realize. And I want to highlight those things because I think people need to see the optimism and where things are going. I think the city is on the upswing. I think we've got things that we can do. I don't get involved in local politics, but I am involved with what's happening in my city. And I see the parks are wonderful. I'm taking advantage of that by using those with our programs and putting our kids in it. And we have a lot of camps that are here, and we're partnering with them to do so many preventive works as well. So there's my job is a very, very busy job. I have different balls in the air all the time. We're juggling. But I have a team that helps me juggle all this. And that team is excellent, and it's very forthcoming, and they're very aggressive. So we get programming out there, and we accomplish it. We're not talkers. We're doers. And I've been a doer my whole life. I proved that with the kids' place. I proved that with my press when I prosecuted, when I got serious convictions for child abusers. And I proved that with the kids' place, and then when I ran my own business. We're doers, and this office is full of doers.
And going back to what you're doing, the parks, the involvement of youth in Rising Roots and all of it, we have to work with the kiddos. We have, I would say all the violent youthful offenders that I dealt with, if they had a good home life, and role models. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah. Mentors.
Mentors and role models. And your guys and your people are doing that. And I'm so psyched about the social workers in the school because I've often said that let's try to prevent it before it happens.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, look at my first assistant. She's a big sister, So that just... That's the type of people I have in this office. Marianne Shelby is a big sister.
Marianne, I have to tell you, it's been one of the most delightful. I interviewed her, and she just radiates, as you do, wholesome goodness and justice. Not convictions, not statistics. And justice might be getting a kid out of his home and into a foster home.
That's right.
That was another big one with me when I would interview everyone that comes through. Some of them, you listen to their home life, and you're not shocked that they're there.
Right. You're right. You're wondering how they survive and how they get through school. You
Yeah.
know, and that's why I still think that we have to put a big focus on our library. I want our kids back in the library. I don't want to see drug dealers around the library. I want our kids
Right.
in the library. Because there's seven kids in my family. I grew up in that library on A Street, and that library was vital to me to study and give and do my work in the old days. So I like to see our kids be using that library. And it's unfortunate that some of the drugs that are outside that. Unfortunately, I see drug use out there. I go to the courthouse, so you can see it, and it's disturbing, and we have to call the police. So I'm not trying to get into the politic issues, but
Oh, I know.
I just think it's important for us to address what's going on in our community. And I'm very proud of what my people do. Marianne Shelby won two first-degree murder cases this year, and this is a woman that also does all this outreach and
Yeah.
does. And proves it and lives it and isn't just talking about it. She's been
Was
a she's been for
in the
years.
common? What was the big thing you ran in the common? Safe at night. What? Yeah. And there was a picture of her in the Eagle with some little kid. I mean, but it's an office. I'll say this, and it's not just your office. You are the Tom Brady of the criminal justice world in Berkshire County. You're the quarterback. All the chiefs now communicate with the state, with the feds. None of this, I don't talk. We got what are those state cops doing in my town? But you. It's a team approach to criminal justice, and I haven't seen this in a whole lot of places. You know, where you're because you are the chief law enforcement officer for the county, you brought these people together to work as a team, and it's definitely paying off.
They do. They work real hard. They care about our community. And I just hired so many new people that are moving to the Berkshire. They're so excited, and they bring in these beautiful, vibrant people to our community that, and they want to give back. Every one of them wants to do something for the community,
Yeah.
and that's the people I hire. And that's what I'm looking for. I weed out the ones that just want to come in, do their job, and go home. I don't want that. I want people that are going to be dedicated to the community. And I'm lucky. I have 60 employees that are like that, plus 15 state troopers. So I'm very lucky that these people are dedicated. They don't take the time off. I have to force them to take their vacation time because they really like what they do, and they like helping this community, and they're invested in this community. Because we do live in a great place where we can still talk to our neighbors. People don't just walk by each other. We say hello, have a nice day. We open the doors for people. It's just a civility that this country has lost,
Well,
and in the last few years, we need civility back where we just treat each other like brothers and sisters and neighbors, and that's very important to me. And I hope that people get that message from me more than anything else. I hope if that's anything that lives on, is that I care of that people just have civility, care about each other, and help each other out when they're in a time of need. And I think that that's great about this community. I know that by running the kids' place for 32 years, I know that everybody in this community gives back. If you see how many businesses donate thousands and thousands of dollars to these local charities and these local kid things, it's just incredible, and they don't look for credit for that. But these businesses do it. It can happen in Berkshire County because people do give back. It's a very generous community.
as I said 100 times on the air, I've lived all over the world. I've never seen a place like Berkshire County,
Absolutely not. It's
where if
true.
you got a kid that's sick and you got to go to Boston, next thing you know, is a fundraiser to help offset your hotel bills. Your house burns down. People have and I lived in Arizona and I didn't know in a big complex and I didn't know two people that lived either on either side of me. So,
Right. I lived in Springfield. It was like that. It's
Yeah.
different here. We know each other, and we talk to our neighbors, and we share, and we help each other out. When it's a tough, something bad's happening, we help each other out. And when good times happen, we celebrate together.
Celebrate.
Just,
Right.
yeah,
Quick,
that's it.
we're running out of time, but
Okay.
please do a quick 30,000-foot overview of the retail crime.
Oh yeah, retail crime is again. Jim Hall runs that for our office. They run meetings monthly. They run quarterly meetings with all the businesses. They're doing a great job. We're looking for fraudulent things that come in. Jim traveled down to Dallas. He's been all over the country,
Wow.
learning the scams that are coming in before they get here, and
Oh,
we're
good.
catching them. And we're working. We then teach law enforcement about that. We teach, we meet with the police monthly. We meet with the stores on a quarterly basis, sometimes monthly as well. We're going to run another big organized retail crime conference like we did last year. We had 200 people at BCC. We're going to do that again. We are seeing a tremendous reduction in the amount of theft that we are getting in our community. It's working for us, and it's working for the stores. We're going to continue to do that. We've expanded into elder fraud, and we're working on that, which is much more complicated. Yeah. But we've got Jim trained on that as well. His sole job now is doing elder fraud and organized retail crime. That's how much we're dedicated to it. So this didn't exist in this office before. Organized retail crime division does exist now, and we're spending a lot of time in getting rid of those things. And even small things, whether it's the small thefts, we're making sure, again, people are held accountable for those small thefts so they don't do it again. So that's going in a wonderful basis. We can focus on another time, but like
absolutely.
I said, today we talked a lot about kids, but there's a lot going on with the organized retail crime and the elder frauds that we are on a daily basis working on.
And for the people out there, the DA is accessible. He really is. He's not like some in the past where yeah. But I would say this too. Let's be thankful for what is happening, all the positive.
Right.
We don't have the shootings now. We don't. It's not picking up the paper and wonder who got shot last week. And all I would say to the DA is thank you and your entire team, and your first assistant Marianne. I'll tell you, I don't know where you find these people, but they are the cream of the crop. She represented you at the Elizabeth Freeman. I mean, what a wonderful person she is. And she just emanates that, yeah. And along with the other folks who were there.
Yeah, Elizabeth Freeman said does a great job. And I have to give a shout out to them, too, for, you know, supporting us when my daughter was murdered. So, you know, they're a great organization, and I'm proud of working with them as well.
I have supported them since I think I was Janice Broderick's first radio interview.
Yeah, I've known Janice for a long time. Her daughter and my daughter were best friends in high school and in middle school. So I've known Janice for a long time. And I was sad to see her retire, but I don't blame it. She had a lot of high years, but boy, she ran a great program. And we've got a new director in there. Things seem to be going well.
Doing really well, so
let's hope it going. We're going to continue to support them as they support us.
Yeah, and I do too. I have them on whenever they want to come on, they're on.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. District Attorney.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you again.
It's great seeing you. And again, as a citizen of Berkshire County, thank you and your entire team, because I think I can speak from some kind of background in the criminal justice. Your office is hitting on all 8 cylinders.
Yeah. We're proud of it.
You're a good man, and best to the wife and best to all of your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for all that you do. I'll be in touch.
Stay well. Thanks, Bill. You too.
You bet. Everyone, God bless. I always say it. I know it upsets some of you. I get your text. God bless. And today, let's lift somebody up, not push somebody down. We're all in this together. Kindness costs nothing. Talk to you soon. Bye, Dia. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
Okay, Bill. Talk soon. Bye.